The American embassy in the Democratic Republic of Congo is closed. American diplomats have evacuated the embassy amid fears of a rebel assault on the capital, Kinshasa. State television reports that Congolese President Laurent Kabila has fled the capital for the safer confines of the southern town of Lubumbashi. The purpose, according to an official statement, is to hold a cabinet meeting there. For their part, the rebels claim the two-week-old uprising is a popular movement. But as NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports, most Congolese in the capital are opposed to the revolt.
In a quiet neighborhood of Kinshasa, Joseph Ayenga is preparing for the start of the new school year next month, confident the current crisis will resolve itself by then. Ayenga owns the private Deluxe Kasongo Secondary School, where a painter is putting the final strokes on a new sign, bright red and blue letters next to a smiling Mickey Mouse. Inside a classroom, perched on a tall wooden desk, Ayenga says he's saddened by the current rebellion, which he considers unjust. I can't judge whether President Kabila is a dictator after just 14 months in power, he says. It's too soon. He says it's true Kabila has not been able to achieve national reconciliation, but we need to give him time to work. Like many, Ayenga criticizes the very use of the word rebellion. He insists the conflict is an aggression engineered by neighboring Rwanda, a view supported by numerous eyewitness and diplomatic accounts. For this reason, Ayenga says he's asked his sons to be prepared to join the government counteroffensive. To defend their country, they can take up arms. Across the room, Ayenga's 23-year-old son, Joseph Jr., nods that he is ready, but says he hasn't yet enlisted in the army. Joseph is a second-year economics student at the University of Kinshasa. He joined Kabila's political party just 3 days after Kabila seized the capital last year, and now he's president of the party's local neighborhood association. He worries that Congo is falling into the cycle of violence so many other African nations can't escape. If we allow someone else to replace Kabila by force, it's going to happen again and again, he says. We're a country that's lived in peace for a long time. Maybe we didn't have bread to eat, but we had peace. Many note the irony that Kabila himself came to power by force, aided by the same Rwandan and Congolese Tutsi soldiers who were leading the current revolt. But the difference was that that uprising touched off immediate and enormous public support. Kabila was seen as the next so-called African Renaissance leader. He attracted legions of longtime exiles, like Isabelle Chambé, who returned from 3 decades in Europe. Speaking over coffee in the breakfast room of the Memling Hotel, where she's now waiting out the current crisis, Chambé admits Kabila's past year in power has not been a total success. There were mistakes, she says, like Kabila's reliance on a close circle of family and members of his own ethnic group. Just because someone is loyal to Kabila doesn't necessarily mean he's competent, she says. Chambé rejects war as a solution to such problems, but she says maybe this shock we're going through now will help us sort through these issues. Yet as rebel troops apparently advance on Kinshasa, there are increasing fears for the stability of not just Congo, but the region. Congolese state radio is vehement in its denunciation of Rwanda's role in the uprising. The intentions of Rwanda are well known, says this announcer, and continues, Rwanda wants to confiscate the land of eastern Congo. Rwanda denies the accusation, as well as any involvement in the conflict, but many analysts find it harder to dismiss such a scenario. And their concerns are heightened by Kabila's retreat to the southern city of Lubumbashi. It raises the question, if the rebels seize Kinshasa, would Kabila attempt to hold his power in Congo's southeast? With vast Congo bordering 9 other nations, such a split would send shocks across the continent. I'm Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Kinshasa.